What's up, y'all? Welcome to the ATL Sports HQ live show, the show for the fans by the fans. And I'm Brett Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Brett_A27.
I'm Phil. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at _ATL Phil.
I'm Derek Clemens. You can follow me on Twitter at Derek Clemens.
And be sure to follow our site. Find it at atlsportshq.com and be sure to check us out on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter by the ATL Sports HQ name. And we can be found on all major podcast sites, including iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. If you're interested in writing for the site, we are actively recruiting. So just shoot over a message over to Phil on Twitter and we'll get you going. So first, I guess we'll get started with the NBA Finals. Raptors are up 3-1. And Phil, what do you think about that so far?
Man, raise your hand if you had the Raptors up 3-1 in the NBA Finals versus the Golden State Warriors. Probably think the plague had surrounded Golden State or something. I can't really believe it. But, you know, I think Toronto was built for this. You know, Kawhi Leonard, you know, forget last year. Forget all the drama at the end of San Antonio. I mean, he will – San Antonio to victory almost two straight seasons versus the big three in Miami. So honestly, should we really be surprised? Now, after game three of the second round in Philadelphia, we're talking about, you know, Kawhi can't get out of it. Kawhi can't wait to get out of there. Kawhi has no help. But really, so far in the finals, until game four, it has been the surrounding cast that is really molded perfectly around him to go up and push Golden State to the ropes. And I'm so excited and I'm so happy, and I'm really happy for the city of Toronto and the country of Canada. Much better country than America. I hope they finish it off tomorrow night in Canada.
Yeah, I definitely didn't have them up 3-1, but I did pick the Raptors to win in six games just because, I mean, the Warriors have looked different. I mean, without Kevin Durant, I know the stats and people want to say they are better without him, but I mean, if you know basketball, you know how it is. And I mean, they're obviously not better than without him. And I don't see him actually coming back, even though he was cleared to practice, I think, today.
Yeah.
But even if he comes back, I don't think he's going to be game shape ready, especially in the NBA Finals, where the Raptors already have all the momentum going up 3-1 and they're going back to Toronto. But I did pick them in six, but I think the Raptors need to win tomorrow because I don't see them going into Oracle for game six and beating them. And if you let the Warriors get into a game seven, I mean, it's going to be hard to beat them, and especially with all their experience. And I mean, it's great, like you said, the supporting cast for Kawhi. I mean, Kawhi's been excellent, but I mean, they wouldn't be there if Fred VanVleet hasn't stepped up the way he has. Danny Green's actually back in his finals form. I mean, he's always been great in the little finals experience that he has. Kyle Lowry has stepped up pretty well. I mean, he's doing what he needs to do, and I mean, he scored what, 20-something points the other last game, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, people are just stepping up. Siakam's been played well. So, I mean, they just look like the better team and more prepared team. The Warriors seem to not really take it as seriously this year, and they haven't really got the momentum that they wanted.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Raptors got everything clicking. Got Serge Ibaka. He hasn't been doing much offensively until last game, but he's been making an impact on the defensive side of the ball. And, yeah, they just got the – Warriors have been searching for answers and they just can't figure it out. And but I really do believe the Raptors, like you said, they have to win game five, or else this Warriors probably wouldn't end up winning this thing, because if you go back to Oracle for game six, you're not winning a game six in Oracle, and beating Warriors in seven, that's not gonna happen either. So I do believe that the Raptors do need to win tomorrow night, and I think they will win. Now, at least we're going to ask y'all, who do y'all got winning tomorrow night, Raptors or Warriors?
I got the Raptors, but this series is not over. If there's any team that can become the second team to come back from 3-1 deficit in the NBA Finals, it's obviously the Warriors. I mean, we are talking about one of the most, if not the most talented team in NBA history. So you can't count them out. Raptors have to get it done tomorrow. If they don't get it done tomorrow, it's a toss-up at this point.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Raptors win in Toronto. I mean, that crowd's amazing, and, I mean, they've been great at home. And, I mean, they've been strongholding the Warriors, so I think they're going to go ahead and pull it off, and Kawhi's going to get his second ring.
I'm going with the Raptors, too. I mean, that entire country's going to be in – everybody's gonna be partying on that. Drake's gonna be everywhere, storming the court and everything. But yeah, Raptors gonna win it tomorrow night.
It's crazy because Drake has even distracted a team as great as the Warriors. I mean, you saw how Draymond was talking to him after the first game, and then they went out to eat together. I mean, that's a distraction at one. And then after the Warriors won, Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant waiting for him. To see him go through the I mean, he's one of the best fans for the Raptors right now because I mean, he's deciding some of these games, it seems like it at least.
And also, what people don't understand about the Drake situation, it's not that he's just a fan, he has invested millions into that team. The team has a Drake inspired uniform, his name is he branded their training facility. So, I mean, he's putting millions into this team. He's not just a fan, and people call him a bandwagon. Yeah, he's bandwagon, but Toronto is his team at the end of the day.
That's about the only thing he hasn't really bandwagon is for the Raptors, really.
You're like, what, the worldwide ambassador or something, what they call him for the team? Yeah. Something like that?
Global ambassador.
So, I mean, he's a pivotal role in their team success, like, not just on the court, but obviously, but
right.
Yeah. Well, our team, the Atlanta Hawks, they made a pretty big, big trade, but it's a noteworthy trade. We traded Torian Prince and a second round pick to the Nets for number 17 overall pick in this year's draft, and a lottery protected first round pick in next year's draft. And now we have 6 picks in this year's draft. Schling's on record saying we're not bringing in 5 rookies. We had 5 picks. Now we got 6 picks. So what do y'all think is going to come with these picks? What do you think, Derek?
I mean, this trade was great. I mean, obviously it sucks to see Torian Prince gone. I mean, I think he has a lot of potential in this league as a solid 3-and-D player. And, I mean, he's became a great – he's shown flashes of becoming go-to scorer on a team that sometimes you can just give him the ball and he'll get a bucket for you at some certain points in the game if your superstar guy can't get a point for you. But, I mean, with these picks, we have a lot of options, and it's hard telling what we're really going to do. I mean, obviously, we're not going to go into next year with 6 rookies, so we're going to trade some of them picks, and I definitely think at least 2 of our first-round picks are going to be traded. And hopefully it's to move up and try to get the exact person that we want. I mean, I don't think we have enough to make that push to the Pelicans and get Zion, which, I mean, would be great. But I could see what I want to happen. I want us to try to move the 10 and 17 and maybe a player and a bad contract like Bazemore to move up to the Cavs' 5th pick, and then we'll really have free reign on who we want to get, because I think the people that we have kind of been keying on, the rumors at least, will still be there at the 5th spot. But we have a lot of options, and it's going to be fun to see what Shelic can do with those picks.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I can't remember a time when we've just had just a limitless opportunity. You know, we could move up, we could move down, we could package, we could sell, we can trade, we can do whatever we want. Like, what a great GM. I think people are really understating. I mean, you turned Torian Prince into 2 more first rounders. I mean, and people forgetting, Torian Prince is entering restricted free agency next summer, so it's really only 1 year of rookie contract control. Yeah, we had to take back Alan Crabb's contract, $18.5 million, only 9 points per game last year. But as a full-time starter the year before, he averaged over 13 points a game. So, I mean, he's not a scrub. he can bring us something this year. Not that that's what we'll really be counting on. We got two more first round picks. We don't have to worry about can Torian Prince fit in. Can he make it work with this core? Can he stay happy? And what we'll have to pay him or lose him next year? Because I don't think we were planning on paying him anyway. We now have free reign once again over the draft. We pretty much control. The Atlanta Hawks control the first round of the draft pretty much this year.
That's exactly what I was about to say. We're going first two picks, we know those, and then that's when the draft really going to start at three. The Hawks, where the Hawks have been rumored even trade with number three, try to get, I guess it'll be R.J. Barrett. That's a guy they really want. But yeah, this is a huge trade because, I mean, you mentioned Alan Crabb coming back. We got, after next season, his contract's off the books, and we have over like 50-something million to spend going in the next offseason as well.
$80 million.
Hey, well, yeah, it was a huge amount of money that we have to spend next season. So I think the trade really opened up a lot of areas that, I think the big part is that we're not going to be skipping steps. We're not going to unload all these picks and go try and trade for a big name. We're not going to skip steps. We're going to build the right way, draft a good core, and then use that young core and track a big free agent, which would be, I guess, probably now won't be until next offseason. But I love the trade. I think we'll end up probably packaging something like 10 or 17 to move up in the draft and have picks. Whatever other pick we get in pick eight and get the two guys we really want and head to the summer league. But speaking of free agency, who do y'all think Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson and Kyrie, where do you think they're headed?
Yeah, as for Kevin Durant, I have no clue. I have no clue where Kevin Durant is going. I think he might be dumb enough to go to New York. As far as Klay Thompson, if Kevin Durant leaves, I think he'll stay. If Kevin Durant stays, I think he'll leave. I could see a lot of – I could see like 25 teams going after Klay Thompson. I think every team would like Klay Thompson on their team pretty much. If I had to pick, I'd say – I don't know. I really can't even logistically think of a team off the top of my head. As far as Kyrie, either Brooklyn or the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what mindset Kevin Durant is in. I guess everything is favoring the Knicks. And then, I mean, there's been some talks about the Nets with Kyrie if he decides to go there instead of the Knicks. But I do think that both of their decisions depend on each other. I think if Kevin Durant decides to sign back to the Warriors, I think Klay Thompson will be gone, and vice versa. If Klay Thompson signs with the Warriors, Kevin Durant will be gone. So, and then with Kyrie, I think he's actually going to look more heavier to the Nets. I think the organization is a better fit. I mean, the organization is better than the Knicks right now. And I mean, they're headed in the right direction. And they have spot to max out two players if they don't decide to sign D'Angelo Russell back. So, I mean, they can do a lot. And I think that would be perfect spot for him because it's a younger team. And he would be able to they're already playing well. So he'd be able to go in there and with a team that's already has that chemistry and try to build with it.
Yeah, I see Kevin Durant or Klay Thompson, one of them, like y'all said, is going to stay with the Warriors. But I think that one's going to be Klay Thompson because I think Kevin Durant's heading – I think he's ended up going to Brooklyn. And I think him and Kyrie will both end up in Brooklyn. And because I just see them – Brooklyn is just more attractive right now than New York. But I know people are saying Clippers are an option for Kevin Durant as well. But I just see them – I see both of them heading to Brooklyn. And I guess another person we ask about, y'all see Kawhi Leonard staying in Toronto after this run to playoffs this season?
I can't see why he would logically leave. you know, I know he doesn't care about this, but the community has embraced him. But they let him be him this year. They let him have off the back-to-backs. They didn't pressure him. And he's just gotten it done in the playoffs. You know, everybody's happy. Why risk? Like, it seems like he's found that perfect balance. Why risk that by going to a new franchise with new trainers and all that and a new team where he's meshed perfectly there in Toronto? Why leave? I can't see any situation being better for him. So I think he's going to stay.
But you dare, you see him staying or you see him going elsewhere?
It's, I mean, it's Kawhi. Like, I don't think even he knows what he's going to do. I mean, like, they asked him a question the other day, I think, about buying a house for next season, and he said he hasn't. But, I mean, that doesn't really mean much. I think he might lean more towards staying in Toronto. I mean, obviously, he loves L.A. I mean, he's shown it a few times when he's talked about it and stuff, but I mean, he's kind of in a good situation right now. And I mean, just the whole country is behind them. And I mean, all the crowd support. And I mean, if they end up winning, I mean, how can you be coming into your first year on the Raptors and winning them their first, in the first finals appearance, winning the first ring? So, I mean, it's hard to say no to that and being the key guy that you're tuned into. So, I mean, I think it would be hard for him not to stay in Toronto, but nothing will surprise me because I just think this offseason is going to be ridiculous and it's probably going to be one of the best ones in a while.
Yeah, I don't see him leaving because this is the best situation for him. We're the best player on a championship or potential championship team, and you can't get a better situation than that. But I see him stay on like a 1+1 type contract, a short term, if a player option for the second year. That's just the way Kawhi is, I believe. That's something that he would do. But I guess the last thing we talk about the NBA, what do y'all see the Lakers? Y'all see them making a run, Anthony Davis, or what do y'all see there?
You know, fortunately, it's not really up to the Lakers.
That's true.
So I think that Boston package is just hard to deny. But if Kyrie's gone, what's the motivation for Boston?
Exactly. None.
Kyrie leaves. They need to build around that core. And they need to try to pray and beg somebody to take Gordon Hayward too. And just build around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Gordon Hayward, he's an unfortunate injury, so yeah, but yeah, I mean, just I've always said they were given Danny Ainge had a gold mine to deal with, and he's done nothing with it with all the assets that Celtics had.
Yeah,
he has had bad luck too. I mean, like I said, Gordon Hayward's injury, but Celtics just need to just take a step back, and Kyrie's probably leaving. Just develop their young guys that they have. But Derek, what do you see the Lakers? Do you see them going to get AD?
They're definitely going to try, and I think they should be able to if the Pelicans are smart because, I mean, it's really a robbery for them. You have AD who really doesn't want to be a Pelican, and he's going to be a free agent after next season, and you can get a lot of people from the Lakers and even another pick, and, I mean, you're already getting Zion with the first pick. And you add the fourth pick to add a solid wing and to help build your new core. The rebuild will be fast with all those players coming in that have a little NBA experience already and have started to play better basketball over the past year. So, I mean, I think the Lakers have the chance to have the best deal available for the Pelicans. But, I mean, do the Pelicans want to continue to be petty and just not ascending to L.A. or what? I also, another person, I wouldn't mind seeing Kyrie go to the Lakers also.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that reunion back with LeBron and see what they can do. I mean, they were fun to watch together, I think, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And I mean, in LA, it'd be fun to see what they could do. So that would be one of the places that I wanted to see Kyrie.
I wouldn't mind seeing Kyrie and LeBron back together. But let's go ahead.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Right. Let's go ahead and shift gears to the streaky Atlanta Braves. They just can't decide what they want to be on a hot streak or a cold streak, but they did sign Dallas Keuchel, add on to the perfect time because it was Fulton Navich and Freed kind of going through rough patches. They get a veteran starter at like Dallas Keuchel should be available within the next couple of weeks. But what did y'all think with the Dallas Keuchel signing for the Braves?
You know, it wasn't Craig Kimbrell, but that money and years that Craig Kimbrell got, the Atlanta Braves weren't going to get him. So it was a good signing. You know, former Cy Young winner. So you can't really go wrong there. We'll see how long it takes him to get into shape. You know, he hasn't been in live game action since October, so it might take a while. But you have somebody who is proven, who if the Braves end up in that wild card spot, which is likely, he's someone who has been out there and won in these high pressure situations before. So it's a good signing. It needed to be done because Gausman is probably on his way out.
Yeah, he's got I'm pretty sure he's starting tomorrow, I think. But yeah, he started off the season hot when he came back, but he's just not what we thought he was going to be this year. He's past few starts, but I know the guy that's definitely stepped it up is the guy that gets the most criticism. That's Julio Teheran. He's been the catalyst of rotation the past month and a half. He's got an ERA below one over the past month, and he's really stepped up a lot when we need him to. And I feel like the Keuchel sign only adds to the rotation. He comes in and steps in how we think he can. The sky's going to be the limit. I mean, we still have the bullpen issues. I mean, had Jackson blow a save today, but it's all right. He had a good outing last night, but pitching on back-to-back days, that's kind of tough. But that issue will be resolved, hopefully, before the trade deadline if we stay within the mix of the Phillies. And I think we're game out behind the Phillies. Yeah. They play today. But we do have a series coming up with them at this coming weekend after a four-game series with the Pirates. But, I don't know if y'all saw the game today, but they had a four-run night to tie it, but capped off by an Acuña home run and ended up winning the game in extras. So we had an exciting win today. But next up, we got the old Atlanta Dream. They got the season getting started. And, Phil, do you want to take off on the Atlanta Dream?
Atlanta Dream not off to a good start. They fell to 1-4 today. They've been beaten up and down the court, both ends of the court. They can't get anything going on offense. They can't defend. They couldn't defend us if we were out there. It hasn't been pretty. It really hasn't. And also, Atlanta, we have got to go out there and support these ladies. Attendance has been dreadful. It was a little better today. But attendance has been dreadful. These games have looked like when they have the high school games inside the Mercedes-Benz Stadium or something like that. Attendance hasn't been more than like 1,000 or 2. It's really bad. And, you know, it's a shame because of the great sports city that Atlanta is. In their support of Atlanta United, the Falcons, college football, the Braves, even the Hawks had great support this year. We've got to go out there and support the Dream. You know, 1-4 through five games, it's not the end of the world. You know, it's only a 12-team league, 34-game season. There's still plenty of time to go. But, you know, time is ticking. Andrew McCautry, she's still out. There's no really timetable yet on her return. It looks like Tiffany Hayes is banged up. She hasn't been herself. They just really can't get it going, and they need a jolt. They need a shock, and maybe they need some fan support out there so they can feel the energy. You know, I couldn't imagine being a professional athlete and running out the tunnel and there's like friends and family there. That's it. Also, shout out to the young girl. Oh man, I forgot her name. That was recognized by one of the Dream players, and it's actually gone viral. She got the shoes and got autographs and everything. So really, really great story in otherwise what has been a terrible start to the season. But like I said, it's still early. There's still time to turn things around. And Atlanta, go out there and run with the dream. And if you're listening out there, we want to send you to run with the dream. So, yeah, hey, you want a dream ticket? Hit us up, and we'll see what we can do. We might send you out there to see the dream.
Yeah, like you said, the fan support's definitely got to be up, because again, it's no fun playing in front of empty arenas. It's no energy whatsoever, and it's good fundamental basketball. It's not like the NBA are running around doing whatever they want. It's good fundamental basketball. You want to watch some professional basketball? Here's a young kid, go watch the WNBA. It's gonna be fundamental. You learn more from that than watch the NBA. So, but yeah, exactly. It's good for them.
I always say, if I have a kid and I'm trying to teach them the game of basketball, I'll make them watch the WNBA before the NBA. It's a really good product, you know, and it's a good show. So go out there and give it a chance. Give it a chance. I promise it's good.
It's fun to watch too. Whether they went to, I know they went to the WNBA championship series of what was it like a few years ago? They went like a couple years in a row.
Yeah.
But it's going to lead us over to, I know that Atlanta United was it the U.S. Open Cup, the fourth leg of that, this coming up Tuesday.
So. Yeah, so they'll travel to Charleston, South Carolina for their U.S. Open Cup match. No word exactly on who will play and who won't play. I know some of our bigger names are on international duty right now, but even if they weren't, you're going against Charleston Battery. We would likely start most of our second tier guys. No reason to run our starters out there yet. You know, I don't know if Atlanta's going to take this tournament seriously this year. They didn't last year, and they didn't, of course, their first year. Yeah, it's a trophy, but, you know, we just hit our stride in MLS this year. I'd say just lazy out there until maybe we get to, like, the semifinals or finals, of course, run out your best 11. But right now, you know, a week ago, we just got done with our eighth match in 28 days, you know, six of those being wins, fortunately. You know, we've climbed up the table. I remember about 2 months ago, we were in a dark, dark, dark spot. But, you know, they're back playing championship football. And I think, you know, besides LAFC, there's nobody that I would pick against us right now. You know, we struggle maybe with DC United. But other than that, we should be the favorites in the East. I really can't see anybody beating us. Joseph Martinez is back to scoring goals on a hefty pace. He has about five in the last four matches. It's really the exciting times are back. Make sure you come out there on the 29th. That's our next home match against, I want to say, Montreal. And our next league play is the 26th against Toronto. So we still got a good 2.5 weeks of rest for our guys that aren't in international duty. Hopefully, well, I don't want to say hopefully because that's a little selfish, but hopefully our guys in international duty all get knocked out early so they can come and get some rest.
I know United fans feel better after that the game going into the break. I know fans are getting a little bit restless after the Red Bulls game. They looked a little bit better against Minnesota, but I know fans are getting a little bit restless after that showing against New York. But, yeah, that lead is going. Derek, do you have something to say about the Hawks?
Oh yeah. I was going to ask y'all, what is y'all's dream outcome of this draft for the Hawks?
Dream outcome? Trading up to get to get Zion. I know it's not going to happen, but
more realistic. realistic.
I'd say trading up to 3, but only using like 8, 17, and a future first to do so. And then maybe packaging some more and getting back in the first. Because, you know, we're not going to pick more than three rookies. You're not going to bring more than three rookies on this team next year. So something's got to give.
Yeah, my dream scenario is figure out a way to get – we can get – I don't know how much sense it will make, but we got Reddish and Culver find a way to get those two, or Reddish and Hunter. And by trading up and get rid of 17, but then using our 3 second-round picks or whatever we'll have left after packaging and trade up and trading back up into the first and getting a big man, the true big man that we'll need. But, yeah, that's all. If we got Reddish and Culver or Hunter, I'll be thrilled. That'll be a dream scenario for me.
Yeah, I agree with Reddish, obviously. I want us to find a way to move up so we can make sure we can secure Reddish. I mean, in my opinion, I think he's probably going to turn out to be the best wing from this draft class.
Mm-hmm.
I just think because just the way that he plays, and he just looks like an NBA wing because he can do it anyway, off ball, on ball. He can take pressure off of Trae Young. Hopefully, we can do it without giving up the 8th pick, which I don't see it happening. I think it's more likely that we move up to the 5th spot from the Cavs. I've heard they've rumors. I mean, how true are they that they have it up on the market for other assets and stuff? So I think it's possible, and I think he would most likely be there. I don't see the Lakers or who's the 3rd pick.
The Knicks.
I don't see the Knicks taking him. Mm-hmm. I also don't really see the Knicks trading that pick because of the move that the Nets made. And they should be a little scared. I mean, they're mm-hmm. not for sure if they're going to get any of those big free agents that they were claiming that were secured already halfway through the season.
Knicks fans can go ahead and shut that up.
So it wouldn't be a terrible idea for them to trade away that 3rd pick because you want to have that if you're not getting any free agents.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, my dream outcome would be most just getting Reddish and then, I mean, I'm comfortable. I mean, we all know over the past years, I mean, we found gems around that mm-hmm. 17, 19 spot with Collins, Teague, Herter, Dennis.
Schroeder. Yeah, Schroeder even
better. There's probably more that I can't really think of off the top of my head. And I mean, I just trust Travis.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll do the right thing. He won't put us in a situation that will hurt us, and he won't mess up this what we already have going. I mean, we've seen a great improvement last season with rookies and John Collins. I mean, they just played well together in that chemistry. So he's not going to break any of that up. So all those Blake Griffin rumors, I mean, we can go ahead and dead that. Especially with Collins involved. In my opinion, I think Trey, Collins, and Herter, as of right now, are untouchable and will probably be that way for the few years going on. So,
yeah, the guy who broke that claim, he had a guy that said that's a done deal. It makes no sense for the Hawks to do. I mean, none whatsoever.
I mean, small ball lineup. I mean, Blake Griffin is a solid rebounder and John Collins is, but you got to have a big guy down there to just control the paint. And Collins is not that right now in this point of his career. He needs to get a little stronger. And, I mean, he just doesn't have the height that makes him that rim protector.
Mm-hmm. That's why I know something with Popper or Derek, but I wouldn't mind getting Bol Bol either. I like Bol Bol.
I don't see it.
I love Bol Bol.
I don't personally like him, but would I be mad if we got him? Like, I wouldn't want him at 17. I don't think. I just don't think he's going to be.
Yeah,
I don't think you take that chance.
Yeah, I can't see it. I don't like I can't see any of those super tall, skinny guys. Usually they end up injured. I just can't see it.
I just don't think he just looks kind of like clumsy, and I don't think he's quick enough to use those moves that he used in high school and in college mm-hmm. to get by NBA defenders. But one thing, a sleeper pick. I do want to keep one of our second round picks this year. We need a backup point guard, and I think that Carson Edwards would be a perfect mm-hmm. fit for the Hawks. Elite scorer. I mean, he'll get a bucket for you anytime. He can shoot. He can get to the rim. He's strong. He'll get stronger in NBA with their training. I mean, he can play defense. He's just undersized. But as a backup point guard, I mean, it's not really a top priority to be able to come in and be a defensive stopper. I don't think that would really hurt him. I mean, he just finds ways of scoring. I think that would be great for Trae Young to have that guy come off the bench and still keep that scoring presence on the court at all times.
Yeah, I can't see us taking a point guard in the second round and then immediately being good enough to come in here and being Trae's backup. We saw last year Jalen Adams absolutely is not a backup point guard. I really think we should focus on that, on getting a backup point guard from free agency.
Yeah, we could do that, but do what?
No, go ahead and say what you want to say.
I was going to say, like, Edwards is a guy that he can be, he'll be small, but he could play the two because if you have him and Trae on the floor at the same time, they both got limitless range. I mean, Edwards put on an absolute clinic in the tournament, and they should have beat Virginia, but it's all right. That's a story for another time. But yeah, but I do think we need a veteran, like Jeremy Lin was a guy. I know we got him there in Trae, but that was a perfect fit behind Trae Young, good veteran leader. And but yeah, I haven't even seen a list, but I forgot who would be a good veteran backup out there.
That's what I was about to ask. Who's some point guards on the
free agent? Isn't Tim Frazier a free agent?
I know Pat Beverly is.
I love Pat Beverly.
I'll take him too. I don't like his personality because I think he does some dirty things. But I mean, I'll take him on my team for sure.
Yeah, and absolutely. He can get some minutes next to Trae as well, so he can still play like 20 minutes a game.
Yeah, you brought up Jeremy Lin. I mean, where's he been at?
It's he's crazy. On the bench.
I know. He's sitting there.
He played like 5 minutes of the playoffs.
Playing the game's over, basically.
At first, I was advocating for him to get at least let him get a chance because, I mean, at first, Fred, he was looking terrible, and then he had his son, and then he just flipped the switch, and, I mean, he's been great ever since. So I guess you should just keep Jeremy Lin on the bench.
Jeremy Lin's kind of – well, he had a good role in Atlanta, got his buyout, and then now he's just – and we've been riding the pine ever since in Toronto. Has not looked good either when he's played. So,
and the crazy thing about that is I've seen fans advocating for him to start over Trae Young when he was with the Hawks.
That was the worst.
It was mostly people from his country, though. So, I mean, yeah. I guess I can understand the bias.
Yeah, and I bet those talks kind of died down a little bit about December. And Trae went on his run, but yeah,
Jeremy's just being held back at that point.
Jeremy, he's not this year, it didn't go as planned for me. He lost a bunch of money,
yeah.
About halfway through the year, he's gonna lose a bunch of money.
Come back for a nice backup role again,
yeah. We'll come back to Atlanta, we'll give him a minimum or something like that's what he's gonna get probably after this half the season he's had. But, we did just have the MLB draft. I know we had some guys from around the area get drafted out of both Georgia and Georgia Tech. Being a Tech fan that I am, I'll start off with the Tech guys that got drafted and just shout them out a little bit. I know Tristan English got drafted. You know, he was a third-round pick. And Kyle McCann, our catcher, who's a candidate for the Catcher of the Year at the Buster Posey Award, he was a fourth-round pick. And then our number two pitcher this year, Connor Thomas, he actually lived before an ace, Xavion Curry. Thomas was a fifth-round pick, and Curry was a seventh-round pick. But he's battled a lot of injuries. Or not a lot. He had an elbow injury at the start of the year. That's why he wasn't available in the regionals. And then we had Chase Murray got drafted as well in the 13th round. He actually lost a starting job about halfway through the year. But he got hurt, and then Jackson Webb and Brandon Ratcliffe, both of those guys kind of just took off and kind of kept them out of lineup. And then our Tuesday starter or weekday starter was Amos Willingham. He ended up getting drafted. And all those guys declared. Texas baseball team took a huge hit there. They didn't declare. They're going to sign to go on to the pros. Texas baseball basically going to be restarting next year. They have Luke Waddell. He's coming back. He got drafted. He's coming back, though. Yeah, it's just Texas baseball had a great regular season. Got not screwed over in the regionals. They blew it themselves in the regionals. But, yeah, it just kind of stinks when you see you have such a great season, then all of a sudden all your talent's gone. And deservedly so. They should not come back. I wouldn't turn them that money that they're going to be getting. So, but, again, I know Georgia, who was also knocked out in the regional play, they had eight guys get drafted, and I'm not 100% sure which ones are going, but I know Aaron Shunk, he was one of the best players in the country. I do know that. He, second round pick, he was probably, he's on one to probably two-way player of the year award. He was an absolute beast for Georgia. I remember I went and watched him play earlier this year. He's an absolute stud. And Timothy Elliott, I actually grew up playing with Timothy. He has, we played travel ball together for a little bit, and, I was proud to see him get drafted. He had one of the best seasons throughout the entire country, ERA-wise, and for starting pitchers. So I was really proud to see him get drafted. And I mean, I was super thrilled for him and grew up around him, so I couldn't be happier for him. And then last few guys I got drafted were LJ Talley, Zach Christofet, Cam Shepard, Tucker Maxwell, Riley King, and Will Childers. And I'm not sure which one of those guys are going. But I do know Timothy did sign his contract today, actually, with the Mariners. So, but that's going to lead us to our shout out. So who do y'all want to, who you want to shout out, Phil?
It's all of y'all at HQ, everybody listening and supporting, and just everybody that's always tuning in. We definitely see you and definitely appreciate you. And if you want some dream tickets, hit us up and let's see what we can do. We want to get you out there to support the dream.
Yes, shout out everyone tuned in. We're trying to find a perfect day that we can be more consistently like we were in the past. So I mean, it's kind of been a couple of random shows. So, but we still appreciate people that continue to watch and listen. And make sure you share with your friends and coworkers and anybody else that you can. Help us grow an even larger crowd. Appreciate it for sure.
Yeah. Shout out all y'all viewers. Like everybody both said, we're trying to grow and just continue. We're trying to find a perfect day throughout the week because we all got different schedules. But, yeah, we'll get that squared away very soon. But, again, thank y'all for listening. And we'll catch y'all next week. And, again, if you want to write, hit up Phil on Twitter. We'll be more than happy to have you. So we'll see y'all next week.